back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings is the automatically deleted husband. Let's talk about sacrificing your children to Molech. This is something I've studied before, and I find it vital because I don't think it was just back then. So, therefore, it's a rather big deal. So, again, let me preface by saying I'm not the authority. I'm looking at the authority, the scripture, which is the word of God. So this is the God, what God has breathed in order to inform us, his creation. And so I'm trying to use that as a reference and offer hopefully some valuable insight, but I'm not the reference. So again, check and see what I say is true. But if there is a reasonable degree of accuracy in what I'm saying, then this issue is worthy of consideration. So in the Hebrew, you have the idea of Molech. And again, don't use me as a reference for pronunciation. This is the idea of to become a king or queen or to reign. So it is the verb, all right? And you have noun versions of the Melech and Malkah, Malkah, anyway, the king or the queen. Because obviously you have a male and female version. So those are the words that you will see often, but there's a specific word, Molech, which is is a king, but is typically, and this is where the issue comes in, typically it's the god of the Ammonites. And it's a god sacrifices were made to. But there's some issues. Again, there's a difference between the Hebrew and the Greek, between the Tanakh and the Septuagint. And the question is, what is the actual reference? And I wonder, it's a separate question, but it's a question I do wonder about, because obviously it was originally written in Hebrew. It was translated by whom? I'm not sure. Somebody can point to that we know as the Septuagint, and of course Christ quoted from the Septuagint because the New Testament's quoted in Greek. So, but anyway, that adds some twist to it, but it's very relevant in this case. So, the idea of Molech. Is seen, is seen several times and in the Old Testament. Let's look at a few of those, not in order, but, and I'm going to use the LSV. You'll see, for example, Amos 5:26, and it starts with, "And you bore Succoth your king." This in the Hebrew is Molech. I'm unclear about the Greek. This one confuses me. There may be a textual variance here because again, you know, some copies have this. I'm not sure about this one. But it's there. But 1 Kings 11:7. Then Solomon builds a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is on the front of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the sons of Ammon. So here we have directly, and it is the name Molech in the Hebrew and the Greek. So we are talking about a specific god. Obviously, Solomon didn't end well. This is a statement about that, but it's referring specifically to pagan god. Jeremiah 32:35 has they built the high places of Baal and are in the valley of the son of Hinnom to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it come up in my heart to do this abomination as to cause Judah to sin. Again, here in the Hebrew and the Greek, it is Molech, specifically the Ammonite god. So, you know, in the case of Solomon, he did it. He built the high places for Molech. And Jeremiah says this, you know, his passage is not, this is not a good idea, what the Lord says. But then in 2 Kings 23:10, this time of Josiah, and he has defiled Topheth, that is, in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, so that no man causes his son or his daughter to pass over through the fire to Molech. So again, this is where Josiah is tearing it down. So this was, you know, a good thing to remove it. But either way, those three cases, specifically in the Hebrew and the Greek, specifically refers to the god of the Ammonites. But it changes, or it's different, in Leviticus. And this is where it really gets interesting. Starting with Leviticus 18, verse 21. And you do not give from your seed to pass over to the Molech, nor to defile the name of your God. I am Yahweh. Especially in Leviticus, you'll see a lot of places where you see I am Yahweh or I am the Lord. I will contend what that is basically saying. He makes a statement, and then he gives the authority. I am the Lord. I'm making this statement. The statement is coming from the Lord. Therefore, this statement has authority. Don't pass it by. It has authority. Authority from your Creator. Okay. This is the LSV again. And you do not give from your seed to pass over to the Molech, nor do you defile the name of your God. I am Yahweh. A literal Greek translation from the Septuagint. And of your semen you shall not give to serve a ruler, and you shall not profane the holy name, I am the Lord. So it's kind of a little different. You'll see your seed or your semen. This is sperma, where obviously we get the English sperm, which is your descendants, whether they're immediate or multiple generations. The word applies in both cases. It comes from the idea of to scatter. Which I forget what that word is, but that's the basis of the word sperma, which again, so it is your descendants. But you shall not give to serve a ruler. Their word there is an archon. So instead of the name of the proper name of the god of the Ammonites, Molech, it is archon, a ruler. So it becomes generic. This, I think, is really important. It is not in the Tanakh, it is Molech. In the Septuagint, it is ruler or archon. I think this is significant. And I can't give you the definitive answer, but I can give you a reasonable assessment of what it is. But so it's okay, do not give your seed to serve a ruler or to pass over a ruler. What does that mean? You know, because you will typically find the idea of punishment for child sacrifices. Child sacrifice, give to serve a ruler or to pass over. There's a different meaning there. So let's look at perhaps it's the largest passage, Leviticus 20. So verses 1 through 5. I'll just read the whole thing and then we'll review them. And Yahweh speaks to Moses, saying, and you shall say to the sons of Israel, any man of the sons of Israel and of the sojourners who is sojourning in Israel, who gives to the Molech from his seed, is certainly put to death. The people of the land stone him with stone. And I set my face against that man, and I've cut him off from the midst of his people, for he is given to the Molech from his seed, so as to defile my sanctuary and to defile my holy name. And if the people of the land really hide their eyes from that man, in his giving to the Molech from his seed, so that not to put him to death, then I have set my face against that man and against his family, and have cut him off, and all who are going whoring after him, even going whoring after the Molech, from the midst of their people." This is a little more complex, and I would suggest extremely relevant, not just then, but today. You know, and of course, it starts with, "And Yahweh speaks to Moses." In other words, God himself, not, you know, it's like the, well, it's Exodus 18, not Leviticus 18. But in Exodus 18, we have Moses' father, Jethro, speaking. And it's written in the text there, but it's Jethro speaking, not the Lord. You know, this is important. And you'll see this many times. You have to distinguish between when the Lord speaks and when the Bible simply records somebody else saying something. Because, again, it goes back to when we see, "I am Yahweh," or "I am the Lord." That is saying, look, this has authority of your creator. And so it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to yield to that one. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I cannot overrule that one. Anyway, but so, "And Yahweh speaks to Moses, saying," so this is the words of our creator. "And you shall say to the sons of Israel." So obviously God is saying, tell this to the sons of Israel. Who gives to the Molech, or the Archon. The Archon, the ruler. "From his seed, from his sperma." So gives. What is it to give? You know, there's the idea of sacrifice, because you know, we see in the other cases, you know, in some of the other verses, there is the places of sacrifice, and you're sacrificing your cause or sons or daughters to pass through to Molech. Pass through. What does that mean? You know, there is the idea that the children, you know, young children, especially infants, were literally burnt in, as a sacrifice to Molech. You know, this is not a pleasant thing. And I would suggest a good analogy is abortion today. You know, when you cause a young child, an infant, to die, whether by burning, literally burning, you will see often, for example, a lot of the pagan gods a lot of the pagan gods that have the you know, where you have the big places of sacrifice, and they sacrifice a whole lot of people, and you know, especially valuable was, appears to be, to sacrifice children. You know, it's interesting. It's often children or virgins. You know, obviously an infant would be a virgin, but then you know, a young girl especially. It seems that's cruel. It's a problem. But the Leviticus 20, who gives to the Molech, and against the Molech, or the Archon, the ruler. So who gives? Is that I have given my child to death on behalf, as in a sacrifice, or I have given my child to be under the authority of the Archon? I wonder about that. Because, you know, I can see both. Again, I'm not the authority, but I'm pointing to you what the words say. So check and see if what I say is true. But, okay, what you have in verse 2 is, if somebody do this, he should be put to death. And again, it's not you. You will find, again, there are two punishments the Lord gives. You know, he doesn't give punishment by putting you in jail. The Lord never calls for anyone to be put in jail. That is a thing that man does. The Lord never says that. He says it's death or restitution. In other words, if I steal it from you, I restore what's stolen, and typically there is effectively a monetary fine because I restore what was stolen and then some in order to compensate. And, you know, some crimes, you know, sexual immorality, murder, so forth, the punishment is death. And not by the state, because you it is certainly put to test, the people of the land stone him with stone. Again, why is that done? Because then everyone has a part. It is, you might say, the collective, that the community where that person is. It is not a state. We do not pass the authority to somebody else to do the sacrifice or to do the execution. We do it. That is a vital point. But then it goes on. And I set my face against that man and cut him off in the midst of his people, because he is given, for he is given to the Molech, the Archon, from his seed, from his sperma. But then, and if the people of the land really hide their eyes from that man, in his giving to the Molech from his seed, so as not to put him to death. So in other words, the command is, if someone is sacrificing, or excuse me, giving his child, children, descendants, his posterity, over to a ruler. I mean, that is the word here in the Septuagint. In the Tanakh, it is Molech, the Ammonite god. In the Septuagint, it is the Archon, so a ruler. If you give your children, you know, one context you could say, okay, this is I'm sacrificing so the child is dead. Or the other is I'm putting my child under the authority of a ruler. I would suggest from the Septuagint, that is our valid reading of it. And if the people of the land, verse 4, really hide their eyes from that man, in other words, somebody does this, I'm taking my kids and putting them under the authority of a ruler. And if my community hides my eyes, in other words, they don't do anything about it. They say nothing, they do nothing. Then I have set my face against that man and against his family, and I've cut him off, and all who are going whoring after him. In other words, all who are doing the same thing. And even going whoring after the Molech, the Archon. And it's interesting, verse 2, 3, and 4, where we see Molech or Archon. In verse 5, it's Archon, plural. So I would suggest, when we look at the idea of being Molech, the Ammonite god, in the Hebrew, whereas in the Septuagint we have the ruler, or the Archon. Again, the Archon is a broader word. It is the person who is first, leads, or rules. It's an umbrella term. I won't go down path again. But the issue here is that in verse 5, it is plural. So it's not just the one Ammonite god, but the any, I would suggest, or going after the Archon, or you know, we might say rulers. So it's not just a specific, I would suggest, it gives it clearly, it's more generic. So what does this mean? The easy thing to do is say, well, we're talking about Molech back then. We don't worship that god, nor do we sacrifice to that pagan god. So we can say, this doesn't apply to us because we don't do this. However, if we look at it from the Septuagint and don't see Molech, but Archon, they're rulers today. And again, that's a very broad term. It is not the one at the top, but basically anyone who is leading, or we might say, using modern English, managing, governing, or you know, having an authority. So how does that apply? If it's not sacrifice in the sense, because it's give over, or who gives to the Molech, or the Archon, the ruler. If this is more generic, then when we add things, as I've mentioned, the Genesis 1:27, a rather significant verse, where, you know, be fruitful and multiply, God's first command to man, and his second command being to have dominion, or to be the over, literally to the overlord, over the earth, plants and animals. But specifically, it does not include over another man. In other words, you do not set someone else as an authority over somebody else or over you. And this is consistent. We see it's in Matthew 20, I think, where the Gentiles do that, but not so among you. So we could say that it's the Gentiles who are giving their seed, their sperma, their children, their descendants over to rulers. And it should not be so among the followers of Christ. How do you give your children over to rulers? I think there's some blatantly obvious ones. Go join the military. Do your patriotic duty. You're putting them under the authority of the state in a very profound way. And, you know, if they end up dying or injured from it, you could very much see the idea of sacrificing to the point of death. I'm sacrificing my child to the state to protect us. But where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. The state doesn't protect you. The Lord does. If you look at the state for your protection, you again, it's the the Lord protects. It is not the state. Because if you look to the Lord for protection, for provision and things of that nature, the 1 Samuel 8, the Lord says you rejected him for being king, ruler, archon. So, I mean, the military would be obvious. Go vote. Make sure you become 18. You should be a citizen of voting. In doing that, voting puts an authority over the population. And I am saying by voting, I want that authority. I am wanting an authority over me and over others. So if I want that, and that authority becomes an authority over my kids, my descendants, my seed, my sperma, I have given my children over to the Archon, the state. I think this fits. I think you can go to others' things. I want my kids to get an education in a public school, Christian school, and I want them to get the college degrees and whatnot, so they have this certificate which allows them to show credentials so they can get to positions within the corporate or institutional world, which is a hierarchy. What's a hierarchy? Archons. I want to put them into the system. Does it apply? I think it could be very well argued. I think you can argue maybe against that too. But I think there's the possibility of that. And then one other thing. because I've heard this stated directly many times, how important it is to be under the authority of the leadership of an institutional church. And I would suggest, again, that's reading into Scripture things that are not there. Because we're called to submit to authorities that are placed over us. We are not called to place an authority over us. So if it's imposed on me, I submit. But I don't voluntarily impose it on myself or on somebody else. I think this is vital. Because if I do impose it on somebody else, especially my own family, my kids, my descendants, the expression sacrificing your children to Molech gives you kind of a specific, but you are giving your children over to the Archon or your seed to the Archon. So the idea of it's called child sacrifice in the title that I see for Leviticus 20 is punishment for child sacrifice. And that gives you the connotation that you're giving somebody, your child up to be burned or die somehow. But it gives to the Molech from your sperma, from your seed, from your descendants. If you're simply giving, in other words, maybe it's not, I'm giving them to die. I might be if I'm putting my kids in the military to serve in it, especially, you know, and die. I mean, that is child, potentially child sacrifice. But if I'm simply giving them to be under the authority of a ruler, I'm wondering, I think it can be well argued, Leviticus 20 from the Septuagint. That's exactly what I'm doing. And the Lord says, not a good idea. And Yahweh speaks to Moses saying, don't do this. But the other thing is interesting. And if the people of the land really hide their eyes from that man, verse 4, in his giving to the Molech, the Archon, from his seed, as to not to put to him to death. I would suggest what this is saying is, somebody else has done this. They've sent their kids to the military, rah, rah, patriotic. They've sent their kids to be part of the state, to be part of a big corporation, to be part of the institutional church. They have put their kids under authority and said this is a good thing. They do it, well, we do it too. Verse 5, then I set my face against that man and against his family and cut him off, and all who are going whoring after him, and even going whoring after the Molech, or the Archon, or plural, the rulers. So, what I suggest here is if we take it and do this as the idea this is child sacrifice, is as in, I take, this was done by the Ammonites long ago where they would take their kids, their infants, their babies and burn them on an altar or have a pagan priest or whatever burn them on an altar. That's what it's talking about. Well, yes, I think it's very applicable. But when you read the Septuagint, it becomes much broader. And I would suggest, again, I think a clear example is promoting, I want my kids to serve in the military. I think it's very applicable. But then, is it applicable? I want my kids to be under the authority of the leadership of the institutional church. I would suggest it's just as applicable. Again, I'm not the authority. I'm offering you what the words say and giving you what I hope is a clear understanding of what it says and how it perhaps applies today in our environment, in our culture. One of the other things that I think is very related is, okay, the authority of the state, the authority of a large corporation, and so forth, I think you can see that because they are the archons, I mean, that's unambiguous. They are the archons. But what about if I put my kids under the authority of a cell phone, a smartphone? You think, well, where's the authority there? It's there. Why? Why do I say that? Because the old dumb phones, you know, was just simply a tool of communications. But the smartphones connect you to the system. It's, you know, the internet is the method of communications. There's the system that's put on top of it. You know, again, I think we have to be clear. The internet, like the old cell phone, old wire phone, where it's a direct wired connection from one party to another, the internet is effectively the same thing. It is a tool of communications. It's what is put on top of that tool that becomes the thing of monitoring and control in a very big way. So, you know, the idea of a simple email, unless you have the tools to monitor that, a simple direct email or audio communications or whatnot, where there is no third party gathering the data or knowing that the call exists, then the internet is used as a method of communications. I don't think there's sin involved there. When there is an overlord, someone who has that data, has the archon, he is the archon. In other words, he rules that data. What is he using that for? I would suggest he does become a literal ruler, because when I can control the data, what you see and what you can know, I am now the one who limits what you can know. I'm an intermediary between you and the truth. The truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I'm going to act as the intermediary, the gatekeeper. You know, it's so many. It's whether it's related to COVID-19, to Ukraine, to political events and whatnot. The gatekeeper will give you only what the gatekeeper wants you to have. And then there's the authority. You get to the point that you are ruled by this. In the sense of, well, many senses, but one sense, which I think is the most subtle, is if I, you know, because again, when I talk about where my mom grew up, the time of the rise of the Third Reich, who she then became actually worked for the National Socialist German Workers Party in Germany and in Poland, until she ended up post the war marrying an American soldier. But you know, but they came to power because they had the regalia. They had the, this is really cool, and it was very attractive. Gave economic advantages, comfortable living, gave pride to the people, and it brought people in. And then they became ruled by the authority of the Third Reich, the previous Reich. So how do you do the same thing again? The regalia. This is fancy. This is neat. This is cool. I have, well, it's like a Twitter. I have a blue check mark or whatever it is. It's in Facebook. I have a lot of likes and whatnot. I have that regalia. And it applies to me. I'm part of the club. I'm special. Look at how many followers I have, how many likes I get. I'm special. It draws me in. And It is, again, as well, Facebook will say directly, it gives you the dopamine hit. The idea of being at the Nuremberg rallies in the Third Reich during the 1930s. Do you think these people got a dopamine hit? You better believe it. Again, I got the picture is over there. Because, again, quite possibly my mom was there. My dad was there post-World War II at the same spot where it occurred. But there is that, you know, from my understanding, one of the things that was done, you had this massive crowd of people, and in this, the sound system was there, and then, okay, the next speaker is the Führer. You know, he's going to be the next speaker. So there's the prep, and part of that prep is a very low and potentially inaudible hum. Apparently, this technique was used. So that hum gives you an anxiety. Then the leader, the Archon, Adolf Hitler, comes to the stage and they turn off the hum. And what happens? You have that tense tension, and suddenly you have this person there in front of you, and the tension goes down and you feel, oh, he's the one that alleviates my tension. I'm going to literally worship him. These are the techniques that were used back then. The dopamine hits that are used and the techniques used by Facebook, Twitter, a whole bunch of video games, the techniques that are used in video games are the same thing. They suck you in and they become your ruler. So I suggest, and this requires a lot more research, but I suggest it is something to consider. When you put your kids, you know, it's the idea, and I need to have that, because I have the picture of, it was cocaine or heroin. You know, both of them products from Bayer back in the, you know, years ago. I mean, they developed both those products. It's over-the-counter medication. Non-addictive pain reliever, that was heroin. And it gets you sucked in. Now, would you give your child heroin, cocaine, or meth, or some of that nature? Would you, let me give that to my young child, just to be helpful. So you get him addicted, you get him sucked in. Are you doing that with video games? Are you doing that with a smartphone to get him at? It's not the phone. It's the Facebook and the Twitter and that community, that regalia that sucks him in. And it's as powerful as cocaine. It's addictive. So you're not taking your child, putting him on a flame and burning him to Molech. You're burning his heart and mind by sacrificing him to Facebook, to Meta, to put him in the metaverse. You're sacrificing your children to Molech in the pejorative way, or you're giving your sperma, your seed, to the Archon. You're giving them so they'll be under the authority. And again, the Archon is, you know, Archy is the idea of being first, in the beginning, in the Archy. So it's first Archon. Archy is the noun, the verb. Archon is the noun. So it's you are trying to somebody who's first, and that isn't. It's if you look through the scripture, you'll see that is, you know, again, because you have the commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. These are archies. Check it. Check Leviticus 18, 1 Samuel 8. They use the terms. So obviously there's a hierarchy there, because the commanders of 1,000 have the layers of the commanders of 50s and the commanders of 10s below them. It's the pyramid. And, you know, eventually you have on top the ultimate, the king of the king, or the ruler, or the president, or the governor, depending upon, again, where you are in the pyramid. I mean, so the terms have changed. We call them governors or mayors or whatnot. But the idea of being an archi or an archon has been in the Bible for a whole long time. And again, the mayor, the governor, whatnot, somebody we vote for. What is the vote? When the demos, or the laos, which again, the demos is a specific group of people, the laos is all people. But when the laos go and ask for a ruler, an archon, a basileia, somebody to rule, you're voting. Same thing. So, anyway, there's... I would highly recommend, dwell especially, you know, I'm going to put all these verses in, on the web, on this page. But the idea of, again, the difference between the Tanakh, the Old Testament in Hebrew, and the Septuagint, the Old Testament in Greek. You have Molech, which is based on, you know, there's Molech, Malach, and all those, you know. Again, I'm not the pronunciation reference. You'll see the Amos, which is the one that is most questionable, but the First Kings, the Second Kings, and the Jeremiah passages are specifically in the Septuagint talking about Molech, the Ammonite god. But the Leviticus 18 and 20 is the Archon. It's the same word in the Hebrew, but it's a different word in the Septuagint. And the reading in the idea that, you know, there's this hint of a sacrifice to the Ammonite god, the Molech, is I'm giving my child over to death. I mean, you could see that there. That could be potentially argued, but it seems that way. But the Leviticus passages is give to the Archon your descendants. Again, descendants, your sperma, your children and your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so forth, the future. And, of course, it's the idea of if one person does it and you let them alone, they're part of your community, and then the community does it too, you got a real problem. And Yahweh speaks to Moses saying, this is what the Lord says. So, is that important? I suggest it is. Anyway, I hope this was interesting and useful. I hope it inspires. Check into this. Is this just Old Testament that was then, and this is now, and we don't have to worry about that? Or when you set your kids in front of a game that is specifically designed to suck them in. And I mean, if you study the game industry, that's the way it is. This is easy to find. They strive to suck you in and to then, therefore, control the news media. Same way. Again, it's the Mockingbird Press, because of Operation Mockingbird is where that name came from. In order to guide the culture, guide society. You know, we have a free press in the U.S., which is controlled by Pfizer. And if you say anything against your sponsors leave and go to somebody else, and so does your fat paycheck. So do you think people sell their soul to Pfizer? Absolutely. And the idea of, again, if you let your kids, I want to know something, so I'm going to ask Google. Google, which was founded by, or initially seed funding from InQtel, literally from the CIA. Do you think there are connections there? Both in the sense of continued connections today, but also in ideology. It is the collective ruling the collective. It is the oligarchy ruling the collective. So if you let them do your thinking for you, or you let them be the gatekeeper, the intermediary between you and the truth, you got a problem. And you say to the sons of Israel, any man of the sons of Israel and the sojourners who are sojourning in Israel, who gives to the Molech, the Archon, from his seed, from his sperma, is certainly put to death, and the people of the land stone him with stones. Well, the people of the land say, nah, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to kill somebody for that, you know. And of course, because I want to do that too. And the people of the land really hide their eyes from that man. Oh, we'll let him do it because, yeah, we're going to do it too. And they go whoring after him, even go whoring after the Molech, the Archon, plural, the multiple gods. Again, the Archon being commander of 1,050s and 10s and whatnot. So it is that pyramid, any part of the pyramid. I suggest it fits. When you put your kids under the authority of somebody else, as a parent, the Lord gives the parents, specifically the dad, the authority over his kids. When his kids become married, the authority from the parents ends. The honor stays. You know, the Exodus 20, honor your father and mother. But the authority ends. Because a man shall leave his father and mother and be literally glued to his wife. At that point, the authority of the wife moves to the husband. The husband comes the authority. Who is the authority over the husband? Christ. He says that directly. God gave us to be the overlord, the katakurio overlord, in Genesis 1:27, over the earth, plants and animals, but not over other men. And he echoes that in, I think it's Matthew 20. Not so among you, the Gentiles do that. The Gentiles vote. The Gentiles put a government in place. The Gentiles sacrifice their kids to the archy. To be a follower of Christ means you should follow Christ, not join a club. It took a long time for me to get to this point. If I'm wrong, someone who can reasonably go in depth with me and point out where I'm wrong would be an act of love. If I'm right, then I've just done the job of a Scopos, the whistleblower. You have been warned. Your blood is on your hands, not mine, because I have set before you potentially the truth. Is it the truth? Check and see if what I say is true. And please, tell my wife I love her.